Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J, behind the mic. And to my... Where would you be in Abbotsford? To my north.
I'm to your north.
To my north, Melissa K. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
Hope you guys are having a great start to your Tuesday out there, everybody. We got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day going on this hour. But we'll also get into some entertainment news right now. And I don't know if you saw this one or not, Mel. It's kind of funny. A Utah man who went viral for renting out a Salt Lake City area billboard to just read Weezer.
Really?
It just says Weezer for no reason. No rhyme or reason or anything like that. Just did this. He received a billboard response from the band 4 months later.
A billboard response from the band. What did that say?
Corey Wynn, CEO and founder of online t-shirt retailer Luca International, took out a billboard in June and had the advertisement read simply Weezer in comic font sand. Wynn told KSTU-TV he and his business partner Creed Stump thought it would be funny to put the band's name on a billboard in the worst font ever, he said in the stunt, which went viral and all over TikTok and everything. It actually has the band members of Weezer on it in a cartoon form, but it says, I love One Direction instead. The billboard has now received a response from the band itself, with a new billboard being erected about a mile away from the message. And the message is, thanks to whoever bought the billboard down the road, - Weezer. I love the idea of us texting each other through billboards, basically. That's what this is. This is...
Well, it would be better than some of the stuff that's on billboards.
Yeah, good point. this is an interesting one here, Melissa. So James Corbin recently announced that he is going to be leaving his late night show.
Okay.
And a lot of people kind of thought this came out of the blue. It seemed a little bit uncharacteristic of him and not a lot of understanding of why. And there has been some rumblings without any legitimate proof, I should say, just reportings, that he isn't the easiest guy to work with. And that is kind of like, that has worn down at CBS, and that's part of the reason for this. Okay. And then a story like this just came out. James Corbin seems sweet and cuddly on TV, just similar, very similar to Ellen. But we're starting to see the cracks in the armor here a little bit. There's a number of people that have an issue with him, and one in particular. His name is Keith McNally, and he owns a restaurant called Balazar in New York City, one of the more popular, rich, important restaurants around in that city. Yesterday, he posted on Instagram that he is banning Corbin because of, quote, a tiny cretin, calling him a tiny cretin of a man, the most abusive customer to my servers since the restaurant opened 25 years ago.
Wow.
And then he shared two examples of Corbin being rude and entitled jerk and taking his anger out on servers.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And with that, there has been an abundance of people who were at the restaurant when they saw these things happen to give credence to it, to give evidence to it.
Oh.
In another incident, Corbin's wife ordered an egg yolk omelet, and there was, quote, a little bit of egg white mixed in with the egg yolk, which sent him off, and is one of the bigger reasons of this, that he flipped out like this way and everything. McNally added, quote, he behaved similarly in my former restaurant, Cafe Luxembourg, a few years back. Corbin has not responded to any of this. And if he does, it'll be a prepared statement.
Oh, more than likely. Of course.
You can't get away with this anymore.
Like, no.
You never should have been able to, but the idea that just because you are a celebrity, you get to treat people a certain way. Like, we don't deal with that with people without a movie deal, let alone, movie stars and everything like that. And one of the things that I actually, as much as I can, I think that we can pick and choose what we like about cancel culture and what we don't like. One thing I do like is that people are being held accountable now for their actions. And
yeah, being called out for being jerks.
No matter how talented, James Corbin's incredibly talented. He's got more, he can sing, dance, do a bunch of stuff that I can't do. Well, I might be a better dancer, but but I'm a better person. I treat people nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And that means something. And it's no longer that, well, yeah, they're talented, they're all these things, and yeah, they treat people like a jerk, but they're so talented and all this. Like, that doesn't matter anymore. Guess what, James Corbin? There are 18,000 people lined up behind you that could do your job and maybe do it better and certainly do it nicer.
Right.
If you don't appreciate your status, where you are, like where people put you, because he didn't get there. He put a lot of work into it. He's works hard at the job. I'm not taking anything from him there. But we only get somewhere because people keep watching our show. Mm-hmm. You're there for the, because of the fans and the people. And if you're not going to treat people right, then you don't deserve to have it. This isn't something that is God-given to you. This is a privilege, having this kind of stature, having the nice table at a restaurant and these things. The moment you start to abuse that situation, see ya, 86th. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. You ain't that talented. I don't care who you are. I would say it about Robin Williams. If it turned out Robin was this huge jerk or something, I wouldn't look at him the same way. He wouldn't be what he was to me and everything. Nobody gets away with this, let alone, if I'm being honest, somebody who, I mean, kind of like overhyped, if you will. Like, I've seen James Corbin work in a lot of different things, and I've never seen anybody who is worth putting up with this.
No, there's no excuse for treating other people with disregard like that, especially to that level where you've got everybody else around you in the restaurant going, oh, yeah, no, that guy was a class A jerk.
People like that, go ahead.
That's one of the things that I have always looked for in people that I spend time with. How do they treat the quote-unquote people underneath them?
Yep.
You know, and I don't mean underneath them as in servers are less than, but that role, that position has often been looked down on. I've been a server. I've been in that position. So I have empathy for people doing that job. It's hard work.
Yeah.
And it's not got a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody with that kind of platform to treat people like that is really terrible.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to be seeing a whole lot of him going forward. I'm not saying he'll be gone. I'm not saying he won't get any work.
No.
But you're not going to be seeing, like, there's already people that have pulled projects from him. And they did that. They did that before this started, let alone now where there's actually some, you know, kind of stirrings going on.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for celebrities to get negative press. He is absolutely bringing it on himself by his wrong actions.
Yeah, they make
it's warranted.
They make it that much harder on anybody who's just trying to, you know, live their life or just, you know, balance the celebrityism with also, you know, just trying to be a good person. Yeah, and all this stuff.
Good on that restaurant owner for barring him. It's not okay to treat employees that way, and for that employer to stand up for his employees, good on him.
To anybody pushing back, like, especially if you're a big James Corbin fan, well, why would they do this? Are they doing this just for PR? Are they doing this? They get a lot more PR having James Corbin in the restaurant. Like, burning a bridge with James Corbin. They get a lot more press doing that. This is actually hurt. This, you can make the argument, hurts them in some ways, but overall, it's probably going to help them eventually in the long run. And I don't mean by PR-wise. I mean by their employees being happier, their employees being treated better. Standard being set, a restaurant,
and the environment in the restaurant being better because he's not in there.
Mm-hmm. Randy Travis is in the news as well. Randy Travis was spotted playing beer pong with rapper Post Malone over the weekend.
Okay.
Just Post had a show in Nashville Sunday night, and a few country stars came out for it. Randy was backstage, and so were Luke Bryan and Billy Strings. Billy posted an Instagram photo where he's posing with Luke and Post. If you scroll to the right, and there's a 7-second video of Randy playing beer pong. It's not clear if Post was his teammate, but he's right next to him, like cheering him on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't have this on my celebrity bingo as far as like hangout buddies, Post Malone and Randy Travis. That's awesome. That's so cool. I think that's a funny story. That's pretty cool. Let's see here. And another interesting one here, too. So I don't expect most people to know this. I only know it. Emma used to join us on the radio show here in the mornings, and certainly you know, many people have seen Emma on stage at WRCT and that over the years. She's a big fan of this band, of like BTS and South Korean pop, pop music.
Okay.
I don't know a whole lot about it, But I did find one interesting thing, this mandatory military duties that they have in South Korea. And this applies to literally everybody. And so I heard a little bit about this, and I hadn't heard anything since. And now they just recently, BTS announced yesterday that they will serve their mandatory military duties. In case you didn't know, all able-bodied men in South Korea between 18 and 28 are required to do at least 18 months in the military. BTS was allowed to delay their duty until 30, but member Jin, who is 29 and the oldest, will be enlisted soon after his solo project is released later this month. Then the others will follow at some point. The group will get back together sometime in 2025 after they complete their service.
Wow.
That's kind of, I mean, now there were outs for them when it comes to this, but they wanted to serve.
Okay.
Having the boys serve could cost South Korea billions of dollars. As it is, they make the country more than $3.6 billion a year. That's equivalent to about 26 mid-sized companies. They're also responsible for one in every 13 tourists who visit South Korea.
One in 13.
So part of the reason why they allow these bands to not serve is because they are serving their country this way.
Right.
But they still have to serve eventually. It's just kicked down the road a little bit. Again, you know, we're talking about celebrityism and these things and the entitlements of that gives. There is also this part of it, too, where, you know, they're BTS, whether you know them or not, whether I know them or not, they're one of the biggest things in the world and have been for quite a while.
Yes.
And they're serving. You know, it reminds me of seeing the old days where the pictures of former athletes like a Ted Williams or somebody like that, you know, serving those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good story. Interesting story.
Yeah, it is an interesting story.
Here's another one for you to wrap up our entertainment segment. Shania Twain will be playing Miss Potts in the live action version of Beauty and the Beast, a 30th celebration.
Really?
It airs December 15th on ABC. She shared the news on Instagram saying she's honored and excited and paid tribute to the late Angela Lansbury, who was the voice of Miss Potts in the movie. Just as a side note, I don't know what age Shania Twain is, but she looks younger and better than she did when she was like at the height of her career. Not only is that unfair, but good, like, more power to her. Like,
yeah,
whatever you're doing, keep doing whatever you're doing, Shania, because it doesn't look like she's had any work done. It just looks like she's just taking good care of herself.
Yes.
And a good choice. I think that's a very good choice for Miss Potts. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the English accent of Angela Lansbury being attached to that character.
Yeah.
I like a bit of a, I don't know, Shania's from Canada, I believe, but she has a bit of a southern twang to her voice, like her normal speaking voice. I'm not sure if that's going to be in the character or not, but I like the idea of that with that character.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to come across, because she's very different the way she looks as opposed to, you know, the animated version of Mrs. Potts.
What kind of spin she's going to put on this, you know, putting her own voice to it, if you will. That's kind of interesting. I didn't know much about this. Again, December 15th on ABC is when it'll perform. Looking at the cast, dang. Like, just wow. Wow. It is. They got some names for this one. Let's see here. The great, the legend, one of the greatest to ever do it, Martin Short, is going to be playing Lumineer or Lumiere.
Oh, really?
Rita Moreno
Lumiere.
Is... Lumiere. Thank you, Lumiere.
Yes.
Rita Moreno is the narrator. David Alan Grier is Cogsworth. Josh Groban is the Beast.
Oh.
Man. And Bella is going to be being played by the amazing artist, H-E-R. And I don't know if she's a household name or not, but my God, is she incredibly talented. That lady is amazing. She's a great lyricist, but a really good guitar player. I can't remember what sporting event it was. Maybe it was even the Super Bowl. I'm not sure. But a couple of sporting events ago, she did the national anthem on the guitar and just killed it. Just was amazing.
Nice.
So you got a nice cast for this.
Yeah, sounds like it.
That should
interesting
be
interesting to see.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. These are like, for everyone that doesn't do that great in the ratings, the other ones do so good in the ratings that they're just going to keep doing this.
Yeah. And it is kind of the, I don't know, some of them I've been okay with, but I haven't seen them all, so I really can't comment.
Honestly, I have not seen much but highlights from almost all of them. And so that's all I'd be going off of is the highlights. Mm-hmm. And whether they're good, they're bad or not, they're going to keep doing them. I do like the idea of reimagining these characters. And I love the idea of taking animation and doing a live action and vice versa, taking a live action thing and making it animation. Just so many of these stories are great. And it's fun to kind of put a different spin on them.
Yes. And some of them can be reimagined and updated.
Yeah.
Because some of them don't play as well now as they did originally.
Yeah, some stuff didn't age very well. There's actually a lot of things that didn't age very well when it comes to the Disney and all these things that we grew up on. I mean, you can go to Peter Rabbit and Velveteen Rabbit, I mean, and stuff. And I don't know. I haven't read the Velveteen Rabbit since my kids were little.
Yeah.
I don't know if it holds up or not. I hope it does. Like, it was a classic. I hope it does. But all this stuff kind of is getting re-examined with more toned eyes, you know?
Yes.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun with some That Ain't Right stories and plenty more. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning at WFHR. Good morning, everybody. 9:22 on the clock. You got WFHR on your radio dial or your streaming service or however you're listening to us. Or I suppose if this is a podcast and you're listening to us out of live time on your podcast device. I gotta readjust that, Melissa. I got to get that different. Melissa and I here hanging out with you, everybody. I have a That Ain't Right story with a good story of the day wrapped inside it with a dash of that's just weird.
Oh, all right.
And of course,
what, everything.
And what other state will we go to for this story, Melissa?
Yeah.
Florida.
Florida. Okay.
Firefighters.
I thought so, but I was scared to say it.
Firefighters in Florida conducted an unusual rescue when they were summoned to assist a woman whose foot became stuck in a massage chair.
Oh.
Man.
Not good.
No, no. City of Naples Fire Rescue said firefighters responded to a report of a person who, with their leg stuck in a massage chair, and they arrived to find the woman's foot was stuck in a part of the chair intended to massage the legs. The firefighters cut off the power to the chair and used a grinder to cut through the steel rods holding the chair's rollers in place.
Oh, my goodness.
The woman was examined by paramedics and released on the scene. She's perfectly fine, except I doubt she has stopped turning red. Poor thing.
And probably won't ever use a massage chair again.
No. I mean, that ain't right. You're just trying to get a massage.
Just wanting to relax a little bit.
Most people don't get much chances to do this. I mean, she saw her window. She took it. She's like, I got a chance to get a massage. I'm going to get it. And then what? Like, how did that even happen?
Real person from now on.
How long do you go before you actually reach out for assistance? Because I could be there for days before I would actually have somebody for, like, that's how stupidly stubborn I can be with certain things. And then you add on the fact of embarrassment. Oh, man, like, give it a week before, like, has anybody seen James? Like, where is it? And I'm just sitting there like,
I don't know. I don't know if your work ethic would allow for that, James.
No, good point.
I think that might overcome your embarrassment.
I'm dragging this massage chair with me everywhere I go to my jobs and my auditions and morning show here. Like,
that's dedication.
I mean, obviously, a good story of the day with those firefighters. Big shout out to them. Big thank you to them for doing that. But man, it ain't right that the chair is that ain't right part of this. I'm not going to put it on the lady. I'm not going to put it on her. Maybe she did something she shouldn't have. I don't know. But
my foot lodged where it's supposed to. Most feet aren't bigger than legs, right?
Yes. I feel like that's pretty fair to say.
I don't know why. How yeah, I have questions.
Right. Yeah. So many follow-up questions. So many.
But also, not going to buy a massage chair.
No.
I think I'll just pay for it from a trained professional.
Got some good ones out there. I think there's plenty of human beings that could do a good job of that. Here is one that is a That Ain't Right story. It looks like a That Ain't Right story. And maybe you can make the argument it is, but it does have important purposes. Researchers at Boston University are catching heat for creating a new strain of COVID that might be even deadlier. And they did it on purpose. They took the first virus that spread in 2020, gave it the spike protein that made Omicron so contagious, tested it on mice, and it killed 80% of them.
Oh my goodness.
Before you panic too much, they used a type of mouse that's very susceptible to COVID. So they doubt it would be that deadly in people, but they're not 100%. It's almost. It's also one of just 13 labs authorized to handle the most dangerous viruses. So all safety measures were in place. It wasn't. It wasn't just some college kids messing around with some beakers or anything like that.
Right. Right.
They said it does sound. It does sound risky, especially since some people think the original virus leaked from a lab in Wuhan doing the exact same thing. It's called gain-of-function research, where they make viruses deadlier to try to get ahead of them.
Yes.
To be clear, that theory has never been proven, except for the fact that it has been. I mean, so the Daily Mail, I don't take shots at them very often, but sometimes some of the reporting is a little opinionated, and that's where the opinion comes in here, because you can't deny that. Like, one of the deadliest jobs in the world is these virus hunters, these people who are trying to get ahead of pandemics. We had warnings that a pandemic could happen. We had warnings that we were not prepared for a pandemic, going all the way back to the Obama administration. This was there. It did not have to be as bad as it was. How do you prevent these things from happening? How do you have history stop repeating itself? We talked about this with the Holocaust earlier. You talk about the Holocaust. You make sure people are aware of this history of this.
You have information.
Diseases and viruses are not that different. This is how we combat them. We're never going to have a society where every virus is gone. Maybe in some perfect utopia that is 100,000 years away, but not in any of our lifetimes. We got to learn to deal with these things. We got to learn to live with them. The only way to combat them is with them. That's what we have found. Yeah. That is what science has proven. That is what it is. We have found. Every vaccine you've ever taken, every bit of medication you've ever taken, whether it's just over-the-counter pills or it's a medication you're done or something you are shot up in your arm, it has a little bit of the virus in it. Mm-hmm. You kill the virus with the virus. That's part of how
That's
it's done.
How you create the immunity.
This work that they're doing, is it deadly? Is it a little bit scary and stuff? Yeah, it should be. Viruses are scary. Like,
right.
This is part of the point here and everything. Like, I don't like people. I don't like scaring people. I don't believe in sensationalism or anything like that. That's the opposite of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to. It's scary because it's unknown, right?
Right.
So the more we know, the less scary it ceases to be. Now, it's still going to be a bit scary, but it's not as scary.
Well, and the way that they're finding out this knowledge is by doing the research that they're doing and doing this testing in a safe environment where we're not putting people at risk.
Yeah. And as scary as it is for us, how do you think those scientists feel? How scary do you think it is for them?
The things that they know if we knew what they know about it, we would be more scared.
God bless every single one of these virus hunters and these people that are out there doing this work. There is an estimated 3 or 4 different pandemics that we have been able to avoid in the last 100 years, thanks to this work being done. Mm-hmm. That's just the rough estimate. They're rounding down when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is freaky. I completely admit that. But this is one of the greatest definitions of don't just read headlines. Mm-hmm. Read into the article. Read the actual reporting being done. Mm-hmm. We will take a break. And speaking of good reporting being done, we're going to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun with another one of these good stories here coming up, and another Benny Wright story too. That's just funny, weird. We'll get into all of this coming up on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mm-hmm. Greatest bass line of all time. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, listen to that bass. Superstitious.
Makes you wanna jazz. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here. I'm going to go home and listen to some Stevie Wonder. I'll tell you that right now.
Hope everybody's dancing in their seats. Mm,
how can you not? Just right? His music, man. It just always gets me. Mm-hmm. Nice job, Seth. Nice job with that.
Well done.
Our head of production, Seth Havhager. Nice work there. Mel and I getting into a Danny Wright story here. If you're... if you're bothered by this story, possibly, maybe, you know, look into a superhero act or something like that, where we can have superheroes all over the place, because that's what happened here. There's a new there's a new ramen shop in Oakland, California, and last Friday, something wild happened there. A woman ran into the restaurant saying her life was in danger, and a man ran in after her and put her in a chokehold. The employees at the restaurant were dressed as Power Rangers. Yeah, they were dressed as Power Rangers, and they immediately jumped to the woman's aid. The Yellow Ranger and the Black Ranger asked the man to leave, but then he swung at them. The Yellow Ranger blocked the hit, grabbed the guy's collar, and started dragging him out of the place. The woman was told to hide in the kitchen while the man was kicking and screaming anti-Asian racial slurs. Because he's a real winner. The Power Rangers got him outside and called the cops, but it took them a half hour to get there. And during that time, he was throwing stuff at the windows and trying to get back in.
Oh, my goodness.
Apparently, he did. So a bunch of the Power Rangers went out, locked the door, and piled on top of him until the police arrived.
Wow.
The cops detained the man, who they believed was having some kind of mental health crisis. He's still being evaluated, and it's unclear what the charges he'll face, but he will be facing charges, and he is off the streets right now.
Well, that's good.
The Pink Ranger told the other customers that their food would be free, and the Green Ranger said that they were trying out the costumes on Friday night as part of a theme thing that they were just happened to be doing, and this all just happened to happen.
Wow.
First off, I want everybody to, like, I don't want you to picture, like, the, like, because I don't know the Power Rangers. I don't know anything about that stuff. It was well after I was old enough to be watching those things. But I do know that they were really popular with my brother and a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. And so in your head, what you imagine that TV show and those Power Rangers, now imagine, like, the B version of that. Because that's the, they're dressed up. They're not dressed up, but, like, you know, like you, if you walk in Times Square in New York, you're going to be, you know, harassed by about 80 Elmos and Captain Americas, and none of these people actually dress or look like that. They're just trying to get a picture with you and, you know, get a couple bucks from you.
Right.
These people are dressed like that, but they worked at the restaurant, and a couple of them knew self-defense training. So it just all kind of fell into place here.
Wow. Well, good for them on doing that. I mean, that's to go above and beyond. Obviously, that's not something as a server you're called on to do often. That's really good and incredible story.
And I love the idea because, look, clearly if this gentleman is dealing with mental health issues, you know, that's something to not take lightly. And I feel for anybody in that situation. That being said, there is accountability still. And you know, you can have that. You can have both. We just talked about this with Kanye and everything. Is Kanye, you know, been very honest about dealing with mental health issues and stuff? Yes. And I feel for anybody dealing with that. You lose that when you start throwing around anti-Semitic stuff.
Yes.
That's a little bit of a line in the sand for me. Forgive me for being that way.
No, I don't think that needs to be asked for forgiveness.
No, I don't think so either. But
no, and with that guy throwing things at the restaurant, they were working to protect the restaurant, but also kind of him from himself.
Right. Yeah. Another good story here. A foster dog that escaped at a New Jersey airport just after arriving from Puerto Rico in mid-September has been safely recaptured weeks later.
Aww.
Adri Galler Laster, founder and director of the Puerto Rican Animal Shelter, Amigos de los Animos, said a light brown Labrador Retriever mix escaped from a crate just after arriving at New Jersey Newark Liberty International Airport. Galler Laster said that they removed the crate from the plane and there's nothing in there. And this dog was missing for, let me see here. It was missing for 31 days.
Oh, wow.
Now she said that the dog is being cared for at a shelter volunteer for a few days while she receives veterinary care and will continue on a foster up in state New York. So her owners were not able to be, they could not contact them or anything. So the dog was found safe at least. And they're hoping that sharing this story, maybe the owners will hear about it.
Yeah.
Now, I know this is silly. Dogs can't talk. I want to interview this dog. I want to know what it was up to these 31 days. What do they get into? What do they do?
Bumping around, following the smells.
How do they survive? Like, are they? Do they even know that they're like walked away from there? Because the dogs don't have the greatest attention span. So yeah. I'm kind of curious. I have a lot of follow up questions. I think our job as people who work in media is to hunt down information. And sometimes it's not always, you know, the easiest stuff to find. But we got to figure this out, Melissa.
All right. I will schedule a session with Dr. Doolittle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I ask. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I know you'd rather do it, but you're busy.
Yeah, yeah. But you're the reporter in this group. You're the one that, you're definitely the good one. We'll go ahead and we'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun. We got good stuff coming up for you right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Thanks for spending it with us. Hope your Tuesday is treating you good. Mm-hmm. Melissa, I don't know what's going on with this. Didn't we just do a story about dog alcoholic like beer or something like that?
Dog alcoholic beer?
Or something like that. We just did a story yesterday, I think it was, or the other day. The time is a flat circle. Oh. Everything's blending together.
Well, we did like some kind of dog mojito.
Yeah.
Macchiato.
Yes.
A doggiati.
That's what
something
it was.
Something like that. Yes.
Well, the bar has gone even farther. Two years ago, Busch created a beer for dogs. It was called Busch Dog Brew, and it's non-alcoholic, obviously. And they brewed it with flavors for your dog would like including bone and pork butt or corn, mint, those kind of things. Now Busch is coming out with a new flavor because dogs have been screaming about this. Dogs,
oh, right. They're demanding.
My fur brother Sam will not stop complaining about it. Like this one is called Busch Light Turkey Brew. And it's made with bone-in turkey, sweet potato, sweet basil, peppermint leaves, turmeric, ginger, and water. The beer is available at Anheuser-Busch's Shop Beer Gear website. $15 for four 12-ounce cans.
Okay.
If you're curious, humans can drink dog brew, but
I was just going to ask, but I didn't want to.
Yeah. Busch stresses that it, quote, specifically made for dog's refined palate, so you probably won't love it.
Oh, okay. However, it doesn't sound like a terrible marinade.
No. That's a good, that's an interesting angle on that. I didn't think of that. Huh. Yeah. You got a good point there. Actually sounds like it's perfectly made for a marinade.
And, I mean, aside of the fact that it's marketed for dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, why aren't beer companies making marinades?
That's something. I don't know why more people didn't get on that when Tennessee Whiskey or, some of the bigger whiskeys have done some similar things like this.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I was going to say the Jack Daniels one. There was another one I was thinking of, but they're the most popular one. They've got a number of them out there. So why beer companies haven't kind of gotten on this, I don't know. There's definitely a market for it.
Well, because when you read through everything in the ingredients list on there, I'm thinking, well, I don't know why you would. Dogs drink water. Do dogs like to drink other things?
Not really. I mean, do they like? Will they drink other things? Yes, because they're part goat. They will eat and drink almost anything you put in front of them.
Yes.
But what is best for their system, what's good for their bodies, is water.
Do they need the added ingredients that you just listed off there? I don't know.
Yeah, I like dogs don't have a whole lot going on. You know, I mean, there's a reason why they're so excited to see you when you come home and everything, because you're their TV, you're their entertainment.
Not because you brought them doggy beer.
Yeah, yeah. If it's something like new for a dog to try and it gives them something exciting, that's basically like a new TV show to us. Like how excited we get about a new show to watch and everything. This is that for them. And every, you know, animals, they deserve that.
Treats now and then. Yeah.
It's not so bad. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go over with your friend that will drink anything. Like, because we've all got that friend. We've all got that friend.
What's this in the fridge? Dog beer. What's this? Let's try it. Why not?
Or how about the friend that just helps himself? Like, they ask you what they, you know, you mind if I grab some as they're already got the refrigerator door open and, like, they're already in there? Like, that's the person, too. I want them to grab one of these.
And you're about to tell them to that's for the, go ahead.
You
give
know,
it a try.
Give
Why
it
not?
A shot. It's cold, right? Oh, go for it. Go for it. Yeah. Let me know what you think. In epic detail. I want very specific detail of what you think of this beer.
Full review, please.
Man, I'm telling you, I drank five of these and I don't feel nothing.
Except I've got this nice flavor going on. Like, I'm really wanting some pork now.
I've got this urge to chase my tail and to yell at the postman. Like, I don't know why. I don't know. Oh, and this urge to run up to you and beg to go outside and then 5 seconds later want to go back in. Like,
got any kibble?
Where's the bacon? I got no thumbs.
Don't have any thumbs.
I got no thumbs.
We're pathetic, James.
We are.
We really are.
Good story of the day here comes to us from the Good News Network. A shout out to Andy Corbley for the good reporting. This is a fun one. I'm so glad that they reported on this story because we probably wouldn't have heard about it otherwise. A kind-hearted 11-year-old boy used his own birthday money to launch a food bank service, which he runs from his garden shed.
Oh, wow.
Isaac Winfield fills bags of groceries which have been donated and hands them out to the needy around in his hometown. Mm-hmm. Since starting the food bank in 2020, the service has grown so much that Isaac's family bought a shed to store the hundreds of donated items.
Wow.
Well-wishers, I can't stop smiling. I can't read and smile at the same time. It's getting a little difficult.
That's incredible.
Well-wishers can now donate food or ask for supplies by contacting the schoolboy via his Friends of Isaac Food Bank Facebook page. And you can just type into your search bar in Facebook, Isaac's Food Bank or Friends of Isaac's Food Bank, and it should pop up.
That is awesome.
Quote, we'd always donated to food banks, and during the pandemic, we would take food parcels into schools, which would be given to people in need, said his very proud mom, Claire, who added that recently Isaac had moved to a specialist school, which didn't have a similar program, leaving him depressed that he couldn't continue to help people. Mm-hmm. Quote, being the resilient little lad that he is, he said, it's all right, we'll give them food at my house, said Claire. As he did not ask his parents if they could do this. Claire said, I was laughing, but he had just broke his arm, so I let him do it to cheer him up. I doubled what money he gave them normally for food parcels, and he went off to Aldi to buy some. Hmm. And so there's another part of this, too, where he is helping a local Aldi. And, you know, if you know anything about Aldi Company, they are very big about that. Now, you know, doing a lot with little, putting back into their community. So I think there's an added bonus with that. I don't know if he realized that or not, but there's an added bonus on top of this.
Yeah.
Those in need are also able to go to Isaac's Food Bank shed in his hometown of Redditch, Worcester, which is open 24 hours a day and help themselves.
Wow. Wow.
So, I mean, a big shout out to Isaac. And again, another story of children acting more like adults than some adults we know.
Yeah.
But a big shout out to the adults, to these parents for, and you know, not only empowering this, not only raising a little boy like this, but also opening up their property to strangers.
Yeah, that it's available 24 hours a day. That's incredible. And it speaks to the community, too, of, you know, kind of like what we were talking about before, having that community sense of safety and knowing each other and being willing to watch out for each other and just doing things for those around us. And it's always so encouraging when it's the young people doing this.
Mm-hmm. Some other good stories of the day. A pregnant firefighter in Maryland named Megan Warfield was in a car crash this month, and it made her go into labor. But she still got out and helped another crash victim before going to the hospital because she's a warrior, because she is a superhuman, like superhero.
Yes.
Her boyfriend, who's a paramedic, was also one of the first people on scene. Hours later, they welcomed a very healthy baby girl named Charlotte, who was just a beautiful little girl. Like, that is a great picture of them. If you need a palate cleanser, if you need a good story of the day, this may be the number. Like, this one and that one about the little kid there. Yeah. The 1-2, you got it covered right here.
Just imagine that phone call that she made. Babe, yep, I was just in a car accident. Okay, yep, I'm in labor. But, okay, so here's the situation. I'm helping this lady. So when you get a chance, can you stop down? We should probably go to the hospital.
Like, under the most planned, perfect scenario, this is still the most nerve-wracking moment of your life. All that, and this on top of it, and she's not only still continues to do her job while she's going through labor. Mm-hmm. My gosh. Like, just...
Yeah. The car's toast, so can you call the insurance company?
Yeah, that's added on top of this for this young couple, who, again, she's a firefighter, he's a paramedic, so you know that they're not making a lot of money either.
No.
My goodness. Man, that is a really cool story. I wish them the best.
That's awesome.
A couple from Rhode Island was honeymooning in Spain and walked around Barcelona when they saw a building on fire. So the husband ran inside, realizing it was a nursery, and helped get more than a dozen babies out.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody was okay. They were able to kill the fire off and everything, and everybody was all right. The building is certainly, that's a different story. But, dang. Like, I think a lot of us do. Growing up in a lot of situations that called for me to act right away, I think in one way helped me be a great improv artist, but also kind of told me from a young age how I would handle these situations, how I would handle a situation like this. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I still have no idea how I would handle this situation as an adult, now. And I would hope that I would handle it this way. I would hope I would jump in. My dad used to get mad at me. He'd always tease me, Jimmy, you're the kid that runs where angels fear to tread. You know, that kind of thing. there's a lot of people like that in life. They end up being firefighters more times than not. They end up being police officers more times than not.
Run into burning buildings. Run into situations that most of us run away from.
Yeah. It gives us an opportunity to send a shout out to those people, as well as this gentleman and his wife.
Randomly on vacation.
Well, she wasn't the one running in the building. She did give up some of her time there. She did, they are on their honeymoon.
And I can only imagine that she was helping, take the babies from him.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, just, wow, incredible. That's great.
And finally, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation just pledged another $1.2 billion to help eradicate polio worldwide.
Wow. Good. Awesome.
First off, yes, polio is still an issue for a lot of the world. Going back to our previous conversation of the importance of, controlling these things.
Fighting viruses,
But a big shout out to them, too, because any chance we get, we're going to take shots at billionaires, and rightfully so, more times than not. I have to give credit to that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They've been doing this kind of stuff for a very long time. And when they donate, it's not like a couple of grand here or there or whatever. It's millions, and sometimes like this, billions that they are donating.
Yes.
That is pretty cool. Stick around, everybody. We got pretty cool interviews coming up in part one of Morning Magazine at 10:05. We're going to welcome in Caitlin Riley, Director of Communications and Outreach with the Wisconsin Beef Council. They've got a cool new thing on their website we're going to talk about, along with some other things. We're going to talk beef. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And in part two, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns, will be with us. We'll tell you all about the great things going on with the United Way. They have Day of Caring and a bunch of other things going on. Looking forward to getting into all that. Mel, you have a great day.
Yeah, you too, James. And good show today.
You too. Good show. And everybody out there, have a great one. We'll talk to you soon and later. Be good to each other. We'll be back. Stick around. We got more coming up here at WFHR.